Hello, Leesville Methodist Church. This is our worship service for March the 22nd. And so much has happened. I appreciate what our stewards are doing to keep in touch with every one of you. We're praying especially for everyone confined in nursing homes or care facilities. Let's remember Say-Say. Let's remember Mita, Donnie, my father, and Eugenia. Eugenia is supposed to have a stress test tomorrow and hopefully can go ahead and have her hip replacement this coming Thursday. So let's remember all of those people in prayer. Let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, we know that you're bigger than all of our problems, known and unknown. And you said that if we would draw near to you, you would draw near to us. In all of the social distancing that is happening right now, Lord, I pray that we'll not distance ourselves from you, but rather that we will draw closer to you. Lord, I pray for Say-Say, for Mita, for Donnie, for Lester, for Eugenia, and we thank you that Chuck is out of his boot and is out from under home confinement on an individual basis so he can join the rest of us. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Chuck and Marilyn. They've had a longer home confinement than the rest of us. Now help us this morning as we look into your word. May we find direction and may we find comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me begin by sharing with you what a pastor friend of mine in Florida posted, 10 good things that have come from the coronavirus. This is his observation as a pastor, and I think it's very valid. First, we are reshaping our cultural schedules away from 24/7. Second, we learn to buy, give, be educated, and worship online like never before. Third, we will probably play more games at home, again with family. Four, we will seek God more. Five, we will pray more. Six, we will appreciate the simple things of life more, like toilet paper. We will be more germ conscious. We will sympathize with shut-ins more. We will be more appreciative of emergency workers who risk their lives for a living. We will appreciate schools when they open again and be more understanding of teachers. Well, the price of that lesson is very steep, but hopefully we'll learn from it. Let me direct your attention now to Psalm 37. I'm going to read the first seven verses for us. I'm in Psalm 37, beginning at verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. I'll end the reading there, but there are five commands in these verses that tell us how to act and not simply how to react. If we react, we will probably react from our own frustration, our own impatience, our own insecurities, our own fears. But I want to get a hold of my thinking, my emotions, and I want to redirect myself according to these five commands. The first, you'll see in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, the negative side, the flip side of this, is in verse 1, where it says, do not fret. Well, Hebrew is a very pictorial language. And the Hebrew word here, fret, carries the picture of overheating. Now, your car engine is not the only thing that will overheat if it doesn't have adequate a response from the radiator. But we often say, well, that just burns me up. Well, that's fretting. And the bottom line is you cannot fret and trust at the same time. Now, it goes on to tell us not to fret or be envious of the success of those who do wrong. In our culture at this moment, don't be envious if your neighbor has more toilet paper than you do. Don't worry about things that don't matter. The old expression is, it's not what you eat that's so important, it's what eats you. And so the first command is to trust in the Lord and do all the good you can. And I appreciate the fact that even though we're not meeting as we conventionally have met in the past, that we are looking after each other and doing the good we can. The second command is in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Now, I'm very interested in this verb, delight. What does it mean? It almost means to take comfort in something, just like I don't need a Krispy Kreme donut, but it would be a delight. When I was growing up, my mother knew of a bakery that made a very unusual type of cookie called Turkish Delights. And my mouth is watering now as I think about those Turkish Delights. What kind of a cookie is called a delight? Well, it's not a necessity. It's certainly more than the bread of life. But this idea of delighting in something, we should find our joy in the Lord. The great Methodist commentator Adam Clark said, expect all happiness from Him and seek all happiness in Him. That's what it means to delight in the Lord. Now, the third command, the third verb, is found in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. So I wanted to know what the Hebrew word really connoted. What does it mean to commit to the Lord? And it is the picture of rolling your burden off, like taking off your backpack and rolling it off to the Lord. Now, across my many years, I've picked up a lot of corny jokes and funny stories. But I'm thinking of one right now, and I'm thinking about an old boy that was walking along the side of the road with a very heavy load on his back. Guy in a pickup truck passes him, doesn't know him, but sees him in his rearview mirror and says, man, that guy's got to be hot. That's got to be a heavy load. I'm going to back up and give this guy a ride. And he does that very thing. He backs up, says, you want to get in the pickup bed? You want to get back there and I'll give you a ride. Well, the guy was very grateful. The driver, he's happy he's able to help somebody. And then he looks in the mirror and sees that the guy's standing with the heavy load still on his back. Well, that's too much. He pulls over and says, man, what are you doing carrying that heavy load? The guy says, man, I'm so grateful that you gave me a ride. I just hated for you to have to give me a ride and carry this heavy load of mine at the same time. He said, what do you mean, guy? Take that load off. Roll it off. Let me carry it. We both do not need to carry it. Well, I think that's what God is saying to us. Trust in Him. He'll carry our load for us. Now, I picked up a little statement. Sometimes we borrow problems that are not even ours. And I picked up a little statement that says, too many people who buy a ticket want to run the train. We're not running the train. We're just passengers. And God, just commit it to Him. He's going to work it out. Now, number four, the command in verse 7 is rest in the Lord. The NIV here says, be still before the Lord. It doesn't mean that we're sleeping necessarily, but it does mean that we're resting, that we're confident, that we're trusting in the Lord. And then here's this last one. It's very hard for us right now because he says, wait patiently for him. We don't know how long we're going to have to wait. And waiting is never easy. But these are the commands. These are the things we have to tell ourselves. We will not do these things by default. We will have to do these things intentionally. And so let's focus on trusting, delighting, committing, resting, and waiting on God. Abraham Lincoln felt the pressure of the presidency, like any president probably did, but there was a great war on between the states. And I don't know about his personal relationship with God. It's not important for me to speculate, but every biographer seems to notice that Lincoln developed a closer walk with God during these times. Well, many years passed, and a pastor was going through a museum or exhibit and saw Lincoln's personal Bible. Somehow he was able to get a hold of it, and he wanted to just let it open on its own to see where it would fall open. Well, it fell open to a passage that looked like it had been read many times and marked by a thumbprint, and it happened to be this psalm, Psalm 37. And apparently Lincoln himself found great consolation and great focus in the words of this psalm. Now, many years later, our country's going through a different crisis. We really are at war, but it's a different war. And yet, this psalm gives us direction. And so, let's trust, let's delight, let's commit, let's rest, and let's wait patiently for the Lord to work things out. Heavenly Father, be with every person who hears this little devotional, and I pray that they will find comfort from your word. Speak to them through my words, and help us to be confident in uncertain times. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.